I greet you this morning in the name of my wonderful saving, sanctifying, healing, and soon coming Christ. I have a little bit of a different sermon that I want to share with you today. I don't have a text verse. I don't have a fancy title to give you. As a matter of fact, what I have decided to do, I decided this months ago. When I took over for Dr. Keaton back in July, from July through August, I preached through a series on the core values of our church. And I decided that once fall hit, I wanted to just recap those because throughout the summer, people are just hit and miss and they're gone on vacations and all of those things. So I decided the first Sunday in October, once we get through family month, I just want to take a Sunday and I just want to recap all of our core values. Obviously, they will all be condensed because I spent a Sunday on each particular one. For those of you that were here for each one, I'm so sorry. Bear with me. For those of you that maybe missed, I just want to recreate this for you. This is so important for the future of our church. It's important for us to accomplish our mission. It's the things that we value. And if you want the full version, if you'll just go on our website, jordantownwestland.org, you can find the full version of each of the sermons on core values. But I just want to recap that. And I have to say, I've been a little frustrated because I did this, like I said, because so many people were gone. And what I did not know was that we were going to have 4 and 5 days of torrential rain leading up to this Sunday to where it would hurt our attendance. So I am a little frustrated about that, but I planned this months ago, and God knows. God knew this was going to be here, so I will trust him that this is still the right thing to do. Our core values are the DNA and the culture of our church. Our core values help us to accomplish our mission. Allow me to remind you of our mission statement. It's to make lifelong disciples by leading every generation to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I want you to say that with me. Let's say that together. Our mission statement is to make lifelong disciples by leading every generation to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Thank you. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. What happened to Jimmy this morning is the exact reason why Jordantown Wesleyan Church exists on the corner of Jordantown Road and Lover's Lane. There's no other reason than to lead people to Jesus Christ. And our core values will help us to accomplish our goals, will help us to accomplish our purpose for being here, and will help us to accomplish this mission that we just read together. So what are our core values? First of all, number one, our first core value is the core value of prayer. Jordantown Wesleyan Church is to be a praying church. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11 and verse 17, he says, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." The atmosphere of the house of God, or as Jesus called it, my Father's house, the atmosphere of this house is supposed to be an atmosphere of prayer. The atmosphere around the things of the Father must be the aroma of the people of God coming to the Father in worship and in petition and in supplication. The atmosphere of prayer is an atmosphere that everything in our church should be in. Our worship services should be in an atmosphere of prayer. Our Sunday school classes should be in an atmosphere of prayer. Our children's and our youth activities should be in an atmosphere of prayer. Any other activities, the fall festival, anything else that we do should all be in an atmosphere of prayer. Prayer is the single most important core value of our church. The rest of them are important, but prayer is the single most important core value that we have. If we don't bathe everything that we do in prayer, we will fall flat on our face. If we aren't a church that is a praying church, seeking the favor of Almighty God, seeking His presence and His power, then we are simply human beings going through the motions, and we don't have an ounce of hope to fulfill the mission and the calling that God has given us. We've seen some amazing things happen over the past couple months. During our vacation Bible school in June, we had 11 kids give their heart to Christ. 2 Wednesdays ago, 3 children gave their hearts to the Lord. Last Sunday morning, 2 ladies bowed right here and gave their heart to Jesus. Sunday after church, Chris, who's sitting right down here, you're not napping on me, are you? Okay. After church, Chris said, "Pastor Matt, can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Sure. Can I just shake hands with everybody?" He said, "Yeah." So we went in the office and I said, "What's up? What can I do for you?" He said, "I want to give my heart to the Lord. I want to get baptized tonight." Chris gave his heart to the Lord. We've had 6 people pray to accept Christ in the past week and a half. 7 when we count Jimmy. Last Sunday night, we baptized 7 new believers. I think 4 or 5 of those were children. So the Lord has been blessing us. He's been giving us his favor. Been doing some pretty amazing things. And I wonder how much of that is because of our dedication and our focus and our core value of prayer. Some of you might know, some of you may not, that a few months ago we changed our Sunday nights from an actual service to just a prayer meeting. There's a group of ladies that meets before church on Wednesday night and before church on Sunday, and they do nothing but pray for the service to ask for the favor and the power of God to fall on us. And I really wonder how much of the recent success is attributed to that power of prayer that we've dedicated ourselves to. And let me throw this at you too. On Sunday evenings, we have about 8 people. And God is faithful. And I've had several people say, I just enjoy that time so much. But here's my question to you. If God is doing what he is doing when we have 8 people that are committed to praying regularly, what more would God do if we had 18? What more would God do if we had 28? What more would God do if next Sunday night we had 38 people here to dedicate to praying? Jordantown Wesleyan Church is going to be a church of prayer. You have family and friends that aren't saved, take it to the Lord in prayer. You have a financial need or a relationship need or some other kind of need, take it to the Lord in prayer. Jordantown Wesleyan Church, our first value, our first core value is to be a church of prayer. Secondly, our second core value is the core value of evangelism. Core value of evangelism. Acts chapter 13, verses 47 through 49 says this, "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Our main responsibility as a church is to win people to Christ. Our main responsibility, why we exist, our main reason is to win people to Christ. If we aren't dedicated to this, if we aren't committed to this, then we should just shut the doors and just go home. Or you should find yourself a new pastor. Because this is the single most important thing that we do while we're here. Our most important core value is prayer. The most important thing that we do is to evangelize the lost. Well, Pastor Matt, I thought in our mission statement it says that we're trying to make lifelong disciples. You're right, we are trying to make lifelong disciples. But here's the thing. If we aren't having people come to the saving grace and the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, then we can't make lifelong disciples. And so before we're able to make lifelong disciples, we have to win people to Christ. That's why it says we're here to make lifelong disciples by leading every generation to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We are living in a godless age. We see it every day. We see it every week, every month, in every newspaper, and every news station around the country. We see it. We are living in a godless age where people are looking for fulfillment. They are looking for peace, for purpose, for joy, and for salvation in every area of life except where it can be found, and except in whom it can be found. They so badly want to be a part of something that they join all kinds of different groups, different religions, different cults to fill this void in their life. It's a void that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. They want to matter, and they want their lives to matter. Listen, people are hungry for the truth. We're living in a day and age where there are some people that they think that whatever you believe is truth. There are other people that they think there are no absolutes. There is no truth at all. But let me tell you that no matter what those people say or no matter what anybody else says, there is truth. And the people of this world are hungry for that truth. They are hungry for something that will make a difference in their life. They are hungry. They are looking for something that will give them a reason to live. They are hungry for something that will truly change their lives. They're looking for a change in their life through drugs. They're looking through change in their life through power and through prestige and through being seen and being famous and all of these other things. But it can only be found in Jesus Christ. And here's the answer. We have the answer. We have the good news. We have the gospel. We know where they can find what they are looking for. We have the answer to what they need. And that answer is Jesus Christ. 2 Peter verses 3 and chapter 3 and verse 9 says this: "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you." He's patient with each one of you, and he's patient with me. "Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." There's some of you that you're concerned about family and friends that don't know Christ. It's God's desire for everyone to come to repentance. Everyone. Pastor, what about that lunatic out there in Colorado that shot all those people out there in Oregon? What about that guy who shot those people here last month, back in August? Listen, the Bible says that God doesn't want anyone to perish. No one. But everyone to come to repentance. Everyone. And so it's our responsibility, it's our duty that no matter who comes through that door, no matter what they look like, no matter what they smell like, no matter whether they can put $500 in the offering plate or 5 cents, it doesn't matter their level of education, none of that matters, because they are someone for whom Christ died. And it is God's desire that everyone come to repentance, so that we have to be a church of evangelism. John Wesley, he said this: "You have nothing to do but to save souls. Therefore, spend and be spent in this work, and go not only to those that need you, but to those that need you most. It is not your business to preach so many times and to take care of this or that society, but to save as many souls as you can, to bring as many sinners as possible to repentance." We're to be a church that values evangelism. Our third core value is discipleship. Core value of discipleship. Discipleship is important to us because it's where we put down spiritual roots. It's where our faith begins to deepen and our knowledge grows. We begin to learn about the Jesus who saved us and what he wants for our lives. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27 says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who has built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." We can gather from Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7 that we are going to face storms in life. He talks about rain. He talks about the streams rising and the wind. And we know a little something about that over the past week, don't we? But he says that we will have storms in our life. So we know that these times will come, and these times will be a severe testing of our faith. When those times come, we need to have a firm foundation spiritually. We need to have a spiritually firm foundation so that we won't collapse. And this firm foundation can only be found through the process of discipleship. Discipleship takes many forms. You just read in our mission statement that our desire is to make lifelong disciples. And let me explain to you again why I had lifelong put in our mission statement. Because there are a lot of people that they come to Christ and they begin this discipleship process, but over time, at some point, they stop growing in Christ, or even they might even just walk away from their salvation completely. We believe in this church that as easily as you accept Jesus Christ, you can walk away from him. And discipleship is so important, because if we don't disciple people, if we don't take them deeper in the faith, if we don't answer their questions, if we don't help them grow, then their roots are going to be so shallow that when these storms come, when these winds blow, it's going to knock them on their tail. So discipleship is so important, and it takes many different forms. Sunday school, Wednesday night Bible study, other Bible studies, one-on-one mentoring, small groups, all of these are forms of discipleship. There are forms of discipleship, and discipleship is so important in your spiritual growth and so important in my spiritual growth as well. So what does discipleship do? Let me very briefly just tell you what discipleship does. Discipleship gives us a greater understanding and knowledge of God. A lot of people, they come to Christ and they know very little about God, or they don't know anything about God at all, or what they know about God is completely wrong. So discipleship, this process of training and educating and providing instruction, discipleship gives us a greater understanding and knowledge of God and who he is. Let me tell you this, though. The knowledge of God that you learn on this side of eternity will pale in comparison to the real knowledge of God. There's only so much that we can know about God on this side of eternity. There's only so much that he wants us to know. We live by faith, not by sight. But discipleship helps us to have a greater understanding and knowledge of God. Also, it develops spiritual character. Develops spiritual character. When we get saved, there are things in our life that the Holy Spirit needs to chip away at. There are things that he asks us to give up. There are things that he asks us to start doing. And in this process of discipleship, it develops spiritual character. Discipleship also reveals spiritual gifts. There are people sitting in this room that have all kinds of great spiritual gifts that aren't using them, probably because they don't know that they have them. In this process of discipleship, not only does it help us to learn about God, but it helps us to learn about who he has created us to be. It helps us to learn about how he has gifted us, the passions that he has given us, and it reveals the spiritual gifts that he has blessed you with. Discipleship also builds community. This life is too difficult to go through on your own. I love what Peggy said today, that we are family. And we are family. I thought about last week when I preached on the family of God, I thought about having that song playing, "We Are Family," when we walked out. But I thought, well, there might be some people that, you know, they might not like that. So I chose not to. But I did. I thought about it. I did. Discipleship builds community. People that are in small groups together, people that are in Sunday schools together, people that go on missions trips together, they develop this great bond with one another. And they really do become like family. Discipleship builds community. And lastly, discipleship provides accountability. There are people that don't want any accountability in life. They don't want accountability in their jobs. They don't want accountability in their marriage. They don't want accountability in church. But discipleship provides accountability. And accountability is important. Everyone needs to be involved in discipleship. When churches are fully accomplishing the Great Commission, they're continually making and investing in lifelong disciples. And here's the thing. Whether you've been a Christian for 45 minutes or whether you've been a Christian for 45 years, there's still more for you to know. There's still more for you to grow in, different areas to grow in. We're all different people. We're all made up differently. What my strength is might be a weakness of yours. What your strength is might be a weakness of mine. And so there's this process of discipleship. It is a lifelong process. And all of us need to be involved in some kind of continuing discipleship group. Our fourth core value is worship. It's authentic worship. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 says this. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Worship is to feel in our hearts and express with our bodies a humble but delightful sense of awe and love based on the right knowledge of God. It necessarily involves our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So many people that they think worship is just singing. Worship is not just singing. Singing is an expression of worship. It's one way that we worship. But we worship through raised hands. We worship through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Yes, that is an act of obedience, but it's also an act of worship. We worship through the reading of the word. We worship even through, I think we can even worship in fellowshipping with one another. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So worship is not just about the music, it's much more than that. But what does it mean to worship in spirit and in truth? Sometimes the Bible, they give us these really neat words and phrases, but sometimes we don't fully understand what it means. What does it mean to worship in spirit and in truth? Worshiping in spirit means that you are not simply going through the motions. Unfortunately, probably at some point in our lives, all of us have just gone through the motions. Whether it's because we weren't right with God, or whether it's because we are so burdened and bogged down with the things and the concerns of our life that we stand there and we sing, but we are not fully engaged. We're just going through the motions. Worshiping in spirit means that we are not just going through the motions. Worshiping in truth means that we are not merely acting out our emotions. It's fully engaging with the heart and head. It's the highest intersection of emotion and thought. We have to know the truth of who God is before we can worship Him properly. God has a specific way that He wants us to worship Him. And if we're going to accomplish that, if we're going to worship Him the way that He wants us to, we have to know the truth of who He is. He wants us to pursue the truth of who He is and what He is like. He desires everyone to come to the knowledge of truth. He sends the Spirit of truth, and He plans to sanctify us and change us by that truth, according to John chapter 17, verse 17. It's an encounter with the truth of God that enables us to be encountered with the Spirit of God. Worshiping in spirit means that you want God. All of us want something in life. But when we're worshiping God in the right way, when we're worshiping Him in spirit, it means that we want God with everything that is within us. We want God more than we want that promotion. We want God more than we want that new house. We want God more than we want the new car. We want God more than we want fame or fortune. When we are authentically worshiping God, it means that we want Him with everything that we have. Isaac Watts, who wrote that great hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," he said this: "The great God values not the service of men if the heart be not in it. The Lord sees and judges the heart. He has no regard to outward forms of worship. If there be no inward adoration, if no devout affection be employed therein, it is therefore a matter of infinite importance to have the whole heart engaged steadfastly for God." Our fifth core value is the core value of service. It's the core value of service. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7 says this: "In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." When we are Christians, we are to be Christ-like. We are to reflect the image and the character of God Himself. We're to reflect the image of Christ. What better way to do this than to be a servant? The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10 and verse 45 says that Jesus did not come to be served, but He came to serve. If there was ever a person that had the right, that was entitled to be served, if there was ever a person that had the right or was entitled to have everybody fall at His feet and to throw palm branches down before Him every place He walked, it was Jesus Christ. The Bible says that He did not come to be served, but He came to serve you and He came to serve me and the people of His time by laying His life down for them. So we are called to be servants as well. How can I serve? What can I serve? Well, first of all, we can serve God. We can serve God by being obedient to Him, by loving Him, by following Him, by coming to church, by going deep with Him, by better understanding Him. We can serve God. We can serve others. We know how to serve others by loving them, maybe by helping them in different ways. Maybe they have something around their house that they can't do. Rusty Nails is a ministry of service. It's a ministry of service, helping those that can't do these things. We serve others by being there for them. The Bible says that we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. We serve others by this way and many other ways. We also serve the church. We serve the church. Let me ask you this. Where are you serving? In this local church, where are you serving? Where are you giving of yourself? Where are you involved? Well, Pastor Matt, you know, I just feel like you have everybody that you need. Well, my friend, you're wrong. We don't have everybody that we need. Statistics tell us that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And as great of a church as Jordantown is, and even as healthy as this church is, that statistic is true for this church. It's true. 20% of the people do 80% of the work, while 80% of the people do very little to no work at all. If there are things that need to be done, I know those people that I can call and count on. And you know what? Most of the time, those people are already involved in 2, 3, or 4 different areas. And I hate to call on them because they're stretched to the max. So where are you serving? What are you doing for this local church, for this body? It's so important. And listen to this. We need you. If we're going to accomplish this mission, if we're going to do what God has called us to do, if we're going to win people to Christ and make disciples, and then we're going to reproduce this, it's going to take all of us. Where are you serving? Some of you would be great greeters. You stand there with a bulletin and smile and shake hands and say good morning. You don't need a PhD to do that. Some of you could be ushers. You stand at the back. Your greeter's on the inside of the sanctuary, and then you come up and receive the offering, then you go sit down. Some of you have more specialized skills that we need. Listen, I can't even hammer a nail straight. Rusty Nails would not want me. They'd have to change their name to Broken Nails. But there are things that you can do that God has gifted you to do, and that he expects you to use those gifts and those abilities for his service and serving his church, serving his people. Where are you serving? You can make an eternal impact through your serving. Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Community Church out in California, author of The Purpose-Driven Life, he said this, God calls you to a service far beyond anything you could ever imagine. You were put on this earth to make a contribution. You weren't created just to consume resources, to eat, breathe, and take up space. God designed you to make a difference with your life. You were created to add to life on earth, not just take from it. God wants you to give something back. If you're not serving in a place, speak to me after church or speak to one of our ministry leaders. If you don't know who that is, come speak to me and I will connect you with that person. But our fifth core value is service. And lastly, our sixth core value, our final core value is generosity. Generosity. One of the characteristics of the early church was that they were a generous church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 45 says this. This is when it says they, it's talking of the early church. It says they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. This church was committed, the early church, the first church was committed to being generous and to looking out for one another. God desires for us to be a generous church, but often our own selfishness and lack of trust gets in our way. Our own selfishness and lack of trust gets in our way. We are focused on the here and now, what we can see, what we can hold, what we can buy, rather than the eternal. Matthew chapter 6, we find Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, in verses 19 and 20, Jesus said this. He says, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermins do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. We must value generosity and we must not be afraid to give. God has promised to meet all of our needs, both as individuals and as a church. And I don't know about you, but God has never failed me one time and he has never broken one single promise to me. And if he has promised to meet all of our needs according to his riches, and he is more wealthy than every person on earth combined. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns every ounce of gold in the world. The streets of his house are made with gold. The sea in his land is made from crystal. He is more wealthy than any of us can ever imagine. He promised that he would meet all of our needs. We can't outgive God. Look at all that God has provided for you down through your life. Even go back farther than that, even look at Scripture. Start in Genesis and read all the way through Revelation and look how God came through for his people every single time. When Elijah didn't have anything to eat, God sent him something to eat. When the children of Israel were complaining about what they had, God gave them something else. He didn't have to do that, but he did. God has provided for his people every generation through time. And he will continue to do that to us, for us. We have a generous God. We are made to be a generous people. And we come together to be the generous church. These six things will drive the ministry of Jordantown Wesleyan Church. These six core values are the things, obviously, that we value. It's right in their core values. These are important to us. These are the things that we are committed to, that we are dedicated to, for the purpose of fulfilling our mission to make lifelong disciples by leading every generation to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Will you stand with me and bow your heads? As we close today, I just want to say thank you for being here. I want to say that I love you. I want to say that I love this church. I want you to know that each person in here is valuable to me, is valuable to this church, and more importantly, is valued to God Almighty. And I want you to know that no matter how you're gifted, no matter how big or how small, there is a place for you here. And you, in the way that God has gifted you, those things are valued here. And if we're going to do what God has called us to, this is going to be a complete team effort. This is not something I can do on my own. It's not something I can do with just the help of the board. It's not something I can do with the 20% that are heavily involved. It's going to take all of us. And I need all of us, each one of you, to be committed to the mission, to be committed to the core values. Guys, I believe this so much that I'm staking my whole life on it. I'm putting all my eggs in this basket. And if that means that I lose everything that I have, I will still be faithful the calling into the Word of God. Father, I thank you for your presence in this service. Lord, it's been such a special day. Lord God, more than anything, I thank you for Jimmy giving his heart to you. Lord, I ask that you would bless him, that you would encourage him, Lord, that you would help him to learn about you going forward, that you would help us as a church to come alongside him and to help him develop, to help him become a lifelong disciple. Lord, I thank you for your presence here. Lord, I just have sensed your spirit and your presence in such a special way. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people. I thank you for this time that you have called us together. Lord, you have entrusted us with this mission. Lord, from what I can tell, you're blessing us. Lord, I ask that you would help us to continue to be faithful to you, to be obedient to you, and to go after the lost, to always preach the word, to always worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, help us to be a place in Bedford County that people can come that are looking for the answers to life. Lord, help us not to be a church that goes through the motions. Lord, a church that has a great performance, God, but help us to be a church that is dedicated to winning people to Christ. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are. Lord, I ask that you would dismiss us as we go from this place. I ask that you would protect us, bring us back together at the next appointed time. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, together the church said, amen. Let's roll.